This morning we're going to be in John chapter 14 and start with verse 15. John chapter 14. You may remember this story from just a couple months ago. United Airlines was in the news because they had overbooked a flight. And they made an announcement. If there was anybody that could stay behind, they would appreciate that. Then they started making offers. We'll give you a free flight. And they got up to about $800. Still, no one budged. So finally, the pilot picked four names at random and said that those four people had to get off the airplane. Well, one of the names picked was Dr. David Dow, and he was chosen to be left behind. But he wasn't leaving. So they called security, and finally they had to drag him off of the plane, and of course it went viral, and he suffered a couple of injuries. And as a result, he's now a millionaire. United Airlines learned that it's cheaper to pay up front than it is to settle out of court. Expectations. When you buy a ticket, you expect a seat. When you book a flight, you expect to get somewhere. And when that expectation is broken, there are consequences to that. You might have to call ahead and cancel a motel reservation. You might have to change your car rental. There may be somebody waiting for you at the other airport, and they need to know about that. You might miss a meeting. In fact, for some people, if they don't arrive on time, there's no use going at all. So you have a reasonable expectation, and when your expectation isn't met, it's at least disappointing, if not angering. Well, you're in church this morning. What are you expecting? You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. What's that supposed to be like? What can you expect once you've invited the Lord into your heart? And that's what we're going to be talking about in this next series that we begin today. Let's start with John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Context is particularly important to our text this morning. This was the last evening that Jesus would spend with his disciples before he was crucified. He's preparing them for what's going to come next. He's already washed their feet. He's had the Last Supper and instituted Holy Communion among them. And he's preparing them. In the preceding section of Scripture, he said to them, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I am God. I am God. And he said, and if these words are troubling to you, at least believe what you've seen. Believe the miracles themselves. You have seen some extraordinary things as you followed me, guys. Trust what you have seen and what you have experienced. And then as a further proof to his divinity, he adds, others will do even greater things than you've seen me do in my name. His name is so powerful. His name is so divine that his name carries that power. These guys sitting around listening to him had experienced that for themselves. They lived a long time on the earth and they never healed anybody. They never did anything extraordinary. But then all of a sudden they met this guy named Jesus, and he gave them authority. He gave them an anointing, and he taught them, when you pray in my name. And when they used his name, tremendous things happened. Demons were cast out. People were healed. And they're learning there is something very, very special about this guy. In fact, there were times when he walked on water or he would steal a storm and they would be in shock and they would say, what manner of man is this? And now as Jesus is saying to them, he's explaining it to them. You've seen extraordinary things and this is why. The Father is in me. And when he's saying this, if they're getting it, they're slapping their forehead and like, duh. That's how he made lame people walk and the blind to see. That's how he could tell the weather what to do. He's God. This is how it all fits together. And then he says to them, if you love me, you will obey my command. And if you obey my command, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you understand who he is, he will send another counselor like himself to be with us as the Father has been with him. Catch the significance of that. Jesus did extraordinary things. It's life-changing. He said, guys, you're going to be like me because God is going to dwell in you. Just as the Father and I are one, you are going to be one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is what you can expect. God will come to live with you and be in you. Do you live in God? For a lot of Christians, God lives in them, but they're not living in God. Not just semantics. He's there, but they don't recognize him. They don't awaken that spirit. They don't defer to God. They don't suit him. They don't call him. It's almost like he's dormant within. We need to call upon our God. And when he is in us, he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Is that the kind of life you live in God? Are you and he like this? Does he speak and you respond? Do you ask and see extraordinary things in your life? Now this whatever, it's not fancier cars and bigger houses per se. It's kingdom stuff. Kingdom building, God glorifying things. Is your heart after the things that God's heart is after? Do you long to see souls saved and people strengthened in the Lord? Do you look for a word from God that will bring sinners to conviction? A heart that exalts the Lord, a mission or calling through which you can serve, a divine purpose for living. Did you know that the majority of Americans are busy but bored? That sounds kind of like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But surveys have concluded the majority of Americans, they're busy, they have stuff to do, but they're bored even while they're doing their stuff. We're moving further and further into gaming and all this kind of stuff. People work, they play, they occupy themselves, but they lack any true meaning in their life. But when you connect with God, you can expect. Remember, we started by talking about expectation. I buy a ticket, I expect a seat. I book a flight, I expect to get somewhere. You ask God into your life, what can you expect? You can expect to find purpose and fulfillment as you obey him. And if that has grown cold, if you have grown distant, if you've grown weary in your life, in your walk, this would be a great day to say to the Lord, you know what? That makes sense. Your word says, your word has made promises to me. Now, the devil would like to dumb you down. The devil would like to dull that. The devil would love to push you further away. He loves to cocoon you. But the Father loves to wake us up and bring us back to the reality for which we were saved, for which we were born again in Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you this morning that you were created for, and you have been born again into Christ to find a purpose and a fulfillment. You are here for a reason. Your life counts. You won't always be excited one day after another. But boy, you will see some extraordinary things as you follow after God. Now, Jesus told his disciples, they were sad because he was talking about leaving and so on. He said, boy, it's good for you that I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, you can't get this other counselor. You can't receive the Spirit of God. You won't know this intimacy with God that I know. So note, first of all, that Jesus called him another counselor. Another meaning just like Jesus. Divine, faithful, and good. You ever wish you could take Jesus to work with you for a day? Maybe you've kind of envisioned him, the Jesus with the whip and turns over stuff and cleans house. I don't know. But that's God's intent, that we take him with us everywhere we go. And whether the world can see or feel him doesn't matter. We come to a settled understanding he is here right now. He is sovereign. He is in charge. Because Jesus went away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Counselor, meaning guide, advocate, teacher, friend. You can expect divine help with your life. How many could use some divine help? Okay, let me ask you this. How many have relatives? Anybody have any coworkers? Yeah, we need divine help. We need divine help. And on any given day, you can feel so defeated and it can look so miserable. But then you remember, oh, wait a second. I'm not doing this alone. This is all with reason and purpose. And God, if I give it over to him, will show me extraordinary things. Even in so I thought this was bad. I thought this is going to be terrible. And trust me, I've experienced this a lot lately, so I'm speaking from experience here. I get a bit of bad news, and I'll just mull over it, and it'll make me feel bad, and I'll be worried, and I'll be, oh, what can I do, and who should I talk to first, what should I do about it? You know, I'll just be, blah, 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 blah. And then I finally realize, you know what, I can't fix this. I can try, and I'm willing to do what I can, but I can't. And then I remember he's in charge. I have a friend. And all I have to do is worship him and give it over to him and ask for his help. And it's amazing how things just, first of all, my spirit calms down. And then I watch him do amazing things. Reconcile people and work problems and situations out. And what the devil meant for evil, God is always able to turn into good. So our position in all this is to decide what we want to do. Do we want to keep on worrying and stressing? Or do we want to be people of faith that believe? Hey, you know what? Jesus gave me his Holy Spirit to be with me. He's not surprised by anything that's happened here. And he's going to go before me and do great things. What can you expect? You can expect divine help with your life. This new counselor is the Spirit of truth. Solid, honest, reliable, and it always ends in life. Contrast that with the spirit of this world. Abusive, a user, never paying off, always ending in death. I appreciate, I don't know how many listen to Word FM on the radio, but there's one host that's I particularly enjoy. His name is Brand, and he talks about being an introvert. He talks about having all kinds of troubles, Asperger's, and different conditions. And it's been sweet watching the Lord work in his life and bring him to a place a person with autism and so on would not normally be able, a level at which a person like that would not normally be able to function. But God has done wonderful things in his life. And this last week, maybe you heard this as well, he was talking and he said, you know, I just need to tell everybody that I'm severely depressed right now. He said, I'm not saying that to you to bring you down or to get sympathy or whatever. He said, I'm giving you that as a testimony. He said, because I'm not going to wait until God brings me back up or answers my prayer or whatever to worship him. I'm serving him today because I know he's trustworthy, and I want to show everybody we can worship him even when we're depressed. Isn't that wonderful? That's faith. It's not based on my feelings. It's based on the Word of God. Jesus said, if I would obey him, he would give me his Holy Spirit, and I would see extraordinary things in my life. I don't have to feel it. It just is the truth. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I have a tickle. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Isn't that amazing? On that day, you'll realize all this stuff. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. There's a lot in these couple of verses, so let's take it a little bit at a time. First of all, verse 17. The Holy Spirit will live in us, live with us and be in us, with us and in us. He will speak to us. How many took a foreign language in high school? All right. I wasn't a very good student, so it's still foreign to me, you know? I had 2 years of Spanish, but hola, pase usted sus papeles antes, por favor. That's just about my whole portfolio with Spanish. If this makes sense to you, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, you need to learn how to speak his language. You need to discern his voice. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between our own inner voice and the Holy Spirit. And even the enemy. But with time and study in the Word, you learn to speak his language. You learn to feel his vibe. You catch what he's throwing your way. He does live with you and he does live in you. You'll make some mistakes every once in a while. You'll mishear. You'll go off on something. That's okay. You're learning and you're growing. Now, a lot of Christians just plain give up. They you know, too much trouble. It's too hard. Whatever the preacher says, I'll go with that. Or, you know, we'll follow some evangelist or whatever. And those are all good input. That's all good input. But you have to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit yourself. If you're ever going to be a successful believer, if you're ever going to do the will of God in your life, you got to hear it for yourself. You got to learn. And so you need to tune your instrument. You need to follow after him. You need to ask him to speak to you. You need to have his help in discerning. He'll always confirm every important thing to you. You'll feel it, an impression in your spirit. You'll read it when you're reading the Word. Somebody else will come by and just make a comment, and you'll go, dude, that's amazing. We hear that all the time here in church. After a service, people just file by and say, you know what? I hadn't thought about this for years. And then just yesterday, I was telling it to my wife, and here you say it right from the pulpit. And God is teaching us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to follow him. He does live with you. He doesn't just live with the preacher. He doesn't just live with our evangelists and so on. He lives with you. He loves you. You are his special creation, his handiwork. Now, when you get a new device, how many always love it when you get a new device? They come out with new programs and new apps that you're supposed to use. When you get a new device, it comes loaded with a whole bunch of apps already. There are games, there are maps, there's music, on and on it goes. Pictures, how you find your pictures, how you take them, how you store them, how you send them, all that stuff. If you're like me, you'll never use the majority of apps that come on already loaded on you, let alone the millions that are out there and available to you for download. But when you need an app, you will learn how to use that app. Let's take MapQuest for an example. So Josh and I, we drive down to BWI, fly down to Houston, Texas for my brother's funeral. Drive a Ford Mustang back across the country. We left Saturday night at 9 o'clock. We drove straight through, took a nap here or there. It's now Monday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning. We've driven 30 hours. And I dropped Josh off at BWI to get the SUV. And now I'm driving from the center of Baltimore to Hanover, Pennsylvania. I had never talked to my phone that had talked back to me before. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm in Baltimore. I learned real quick to talk to my phone and have it talk back to me and give me directions. We took every goat path, but it got me home. I learned how to use this MapQuest and this talkie thing because I had to learn how to use it or I'd still be in Baltimore right now. Same in God. God's apps are tremendous. Most of us never use most of them. We just don't need them. But in time of need, they're there. When you're the only believer in the room and somebody needs prayer, all of a sudden you will be anointed and be able to pray. Well, I don't like praying out loud. That's all right. There's an app for that. God's got you. You come upon an accident scene, and boy, these people need somebody to minister to them. I'm not really good with people. Oh, that's okay. There's an app for that. I don't know how to get from Baltimore home, but there's an app for that. And whatever you do, God's got you covered already. You won't face anything that he hasn't equipped you for. You might not know it yet. You may have never done it before. We had our pastor breakfast this last Wednesday, and a good friend of mine, I think he meant for it to be comical the way he brought it across, but he said, I was visiting a church while I was on vacation, and it's a church they frequent when they're in that area, and he really enjoys the church and the pastor and so on. And he said he shook the pastor's hand, and he was on his way out, and he felt like the Lord wanted him to give a message to the pastor. And he said, we're not Assembly of God folk. We don't do that stuff. But I just felt like the Lord was impressing me. So I went and used the washroom first and kind of talked it over and said, God, are you sure? And he just felt, yeah, you're supposed to tell the pastor. So he went back and he said, look, I know you're busy. You're on your way to another service, but I just feel like God would have me say this to you. And he said, when he said it, the preacher's eyes filled with tears and then his eyes filled with tears. And he said, thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear today. So here's a pastor in a denomination that doesn't really talk about the gifts of the Spirit and so on and so forth. He had an app, but he'd never used it before. And then all of a sudden, God was saying, hey, I want you to do this. Oh, okay. And it really struck a chord as he ministered. And God's going to do that to you too. You might think that because God has gifted you in certain areas, he'll only use you in those areas. The God I serve really loves to use us outside our comfort zone. Have you learned that? He loves to stretch us. He loves to challenge us. He loves to get in our face. He loves to mess with us. We're kind of uncomfortable with that. But you know what it does to us? It gets us out of that lazy, sleepy, apathetic Christianity we fall into. All of a sudden, I don't know what to do. And God says, I got your attention, do I? Well, here's what you do. Really? That won't work. Well, who are you going to trust? You just said you don't know what to do. Yeah, I know, but your plan, man. Well, okay, it's the only thing I got. Wow, Lord, that was amazing. Then you know, you've heard from God, that amazing things still happen, and that God is dwelling in you. And then you're supposed to continue on living that way. Now, his apps come alive when you get a kingdom heart. If you're all about you and your little kingdom and what you want, you're going to have difficulty hearing from the Lord. But if you put him first, if you're about seeing other people connected to Christ, if you want to see his kingdom come, his will be done, if you put him first, you'll start hearing from him. You'll start getting impressions. He'll start using you in some sweet and wonderful way. On the backside, he'll take care of all your needs and wants. You'll be amazed at what he does for you. He brings things about that you never thought you would see in your life. But it's not because you are asking him for those things. It's because you put his kingdom first. And all of a sudden, he starts painting your life and filling in the picture and bringing about wonderful things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's why obedience is so key to this whole spirit thing. If you love me, you will obey. He doesn't just give power. Go do with it what you want. Imagine what people would do. Well, see what God, they're already are doing. God gives people beautiful singing voices. He gives them strength. He gives them wisdom. He gives them business abilities. And in short order, they run away from the Lord and they're building their own little kingdoms. This spirit power is reserved for those who are obedient to Jesus Christ. If you love him, you'll obey him. If he sees you obeying him, he will give you his Holy Spirit. And then with that power, ask whatever you will, and he will do it. The power flows through the obedient, not the selfish, not the self-seeking, but the kingdom-minded. So trade in your desires, your plans, your dreams, and seek his kingdom. Some receive very definite life callings. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Others just receive the empowerment of God while they live out lives as masons or bricklayers or IT techs or whatever God opens up to them. They are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world as they dwell among the people of the world. But all of us, all who will receive more than they could have hoped to harvest from a normal life. Whatever you dream starting out, well, I'd like to own this. I'd like to have that. I'd like to finish here. God will do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think if you will put him first and seek his kingdom. You know, this world is full of contradictions. We live busier yet less fulfilled lives. We're more connected but lonelier, wealthier, but less satisfied. Look at each one of those just for a minute. Those are all true, aren't they? Busier, but less fulfilled, more connected, but lonelier, wealthier, but less satisfied. God's kingdom has some contradictions as well. Lay down your life and you'll find it. Surrender and find satisfaction. Take his yoke upon you and get rest. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I submit to you that God knows how to live. The world's got it messed up and backwards. Our flesh has it all screwed up. We think wrong from the moment we're born because we think flesh. Cry for what I want. Get my needs taken care of. But when we come into the kingdom, God helps us to change our thinking and our ways. And serving brings us joy and pleasure in his kingdom. We lay our life down. We find it. So here's his invitation this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a word for people who've never come to Christ. They can know this rest. That's a word for people who've been in Christ for a long time. I've learned that sometimes we get lost in Christianity. Sometimes we draw back. We lose ground. So hear this as if Jesus said it for the very first time, because the invitation stands. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust him. His name is Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. The Father is in him. He's in the Father. Trust the works that he has already done. Believe that he has sent the Holy Spirit to live with you and to be in you. You may have seen a disappointment here or there. Things didn't work out the way you thought maybe they should. Are you weary and burdened this morning? He just opens his arms and says, come on home. Come back to belief. Come back to faith. You will find rest. You will find peace. You will find what you're looking for. So you're thirsty for purpose? Anxious to know where you fit? Why you were created? Why you're here? Jesus bids you to come. Fall in love with him, follow his lead, and you will be filled with his Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit taking up residence in you. Greater things than you ever imagined will take place in your life. You will enjoy fellowship with the divine. You will be his child. He will be your father. His joy will be your joy. His kingdom, your kingdom. His mission, your mission. Love him. Obey him. Commune with him. And the time to start is right now. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a chorus together, The Same Power. It's an encouraging song. It's an upbeat piece. But you know, it's absolutely useless unless you believe it. And it doesn't just belong to Joel Everhart or Dave Mickley or whoever else you want to think about. It's yours. Have courage this morning. Step forward in your spirit and believe that what Jesus has done, he has done for you. And he has given you his Holy Spirit to be with you and to be in you.